Hello everybody, welcome back to the Kiwi Gardening Podcast with DIY Plant Man. I hope you guys have all been well. It's definitely been a while since I've last recorded an episode for you guys, but I was really keen to record another episode and I want you guys to be prepared for having a luscious spring and summer garden. And in order to do that, we want to set up our garden really well in order for us not to be behind or try and cram the stuff in last minute. So it's like the perfect time right now, and over the next few weeks there are a lot of things we need to do in order to prepare our garden and have it ready to be productive. So today I just wanted to go over the process of planting that I do out in the garden, and specifically before Labor Day. So these are the jobs and these are the things that I'll be thinking about and planning before my planting out date, which is like the official date in Auckland / the North Island, I guess, where we plant our crops into our garden. And the reason there's a date for that is because it's the time of the year when there's a very, very low chance of there being a frost or cold weather, and it's safe to put your things like tomatoes and other crops outside that would otherwise suffer if they were out in the cold. So in order to have everything ready by that date, these are some of the things that we need to do in order to prepare and have the best success in the garden. So let's get straight into it, and I've got about 10 things that we're going to have to do, and I'll walk you through each step as we go. Okay guys, so I hope you're ready. We're going to go straight into number one, and that is choose the plants you want to grow. So right now is a perfect time for you to look at your space, consider the space you have, obviously, and work out what you want to grow in that space. Now, there are a few things you want to take into consideration. First off, the type of space you have, the amount of light you have, and that will determine what type of crops you can grow. The second thing you want to take into consideration when choosing your plants to grow is to think about what you actually like to eat, because there might be some crops that are easy to grow, but then if you grow them and you're not going to eat them, it's really not productive and it might put you off gardening. And I really want to encourage you to continue gardening for many years, so I want you to choose crops that you are going to enjoy eating afterwards. Now, going back to the space that you have, you want to think about what the plants are going to look like when they are fully mature. So for example, when you grow or buy seedlings and you plant them into your garden, they are obviously quite small, and it's easy for us to just put them so closely together. And what happens is when they mature and get bigger, everything competes for space and you get long, leggy plants that aren't that healthy. So you want to consider the amount of space you're giving each crop. Now, if you are a beginning gardener, I would stick quite strongly to the guidelines that have been provided on the seed packet that you're using or on the back of the label of the seedling. Now, the reason I would say to do that is because you're going to have the most success. If you are more experienced gardener, what I personally like to do is I like to cram all my stuff into a small space, and then as the things mature, I pull bits and pieces out to give the remaining plants more space until there's that ultimate biggest space for those plants to get to full maturity. Because I like to use all my space and I like to make it productive, but it is a little bit tricky, and I would try and steer away from that if you are a beginner gardener. One other thing I want to say when you are choosing what plants to grow is that you should look at the different varieties that there are. For example, if you are planning to grow tomatoes and you have a grow bag and you don't have too much space and you don't want that tomato plant to get massive, otherwise it will shade out other plants, you can grow different varieties. There are multiple different varieties with different adaptations. You can get patio tomatoes, which are very small and compact growing tomatoes. You can get ones that are slightly bigger, the dwarf tomatoes, or like the Russian red tomatoes, which bush out more. It's more of a bushing tomato. And then you get things that grow over 2 meters tall, which would be your your cherry tomatoes or your money makers or other things like that. And you just want to have a look at the description of the seeds when you buy them, or the label on your seedlings, to make sure that you're getting the right type of plant for that space. And there are a lot to choose from, and which is awesome for us, but just make sure that you know what you're getting. Because if you are getting a 2 meter tomato, then you want to prepare your space with a nice strong stake. Whereas with the bushing tomatoes, you probably don't need a stake. You might need a smaller stake just to guide it, but you wouldn't need a 2 meter pole. So there's a little bit of different prep that you have to prepare for. Okay, moving on to step number two now. Now, I'm assuming you're going to grow your plants from seeds. If you are, this step is the next step in the process, and that is to order the seeds that you're going to need once you've chosen what you want to plant in your garden. Now, I'm just going to give you a quick bit of a rundown, and I posted this on my Instagram, and it's a little bit of a guideline on how many weeks your seeds take to germinate. Well, not to germinate, but to get to the stage of maturity that you want to transplant them into your garden. And what I found is that you want to plant your capsicum and chilies 9 weeks before Labor Day. You want to plant your tomatoes and perilla, if you grow perilla, 7 weeks before that date. And then 6 weeks before Labor Day, you want to plant your spinach, cucumbers, zucchini, lettuce, chive, spring onion, corn salad, peanuts, and cornflour. If you are growing corn and beans, you want to plant those 4 weeks before Labor Day. If you're growing rocket, that's 3 weeks. Watercress is 2 weeks. Now, I know there's some funky crops in there, but that's just something that I did last year. And I just thought that it would be helpful if I gave you guys a bit of a timeline. Now, when I say planting it out before Labor Day, if you are in the South Island, I believe it's 2 weeks after Labor Day that you'll plant that out. So now it's just for you to work out 9 weeks is before Labor Day, or the 2 weeks after that if you are in the South Island. If you do want to have a look at that post, it's on my Instagram, or just flick me a message and I can send it through to you. It's got the actual dates as well when you need to be sowing those seeds. According to this year. Well, I got a little bit ahead of myself, and that was actually point three, that was sowing seeds on a weeks to finish basis. Going back to ordering seeds, now you want to make sure that you're buying good quality seeds, because if you skimp out and you're trying to get the budget seeds, then you're probably going to get weak and low vigor seeds, and they might not germinate into good healthy seedlings. I love to use King seeds. They have such a good range of flowers and of herbs and veggie seedlings. They also do microgreens, which I love to grow. And they have a lot of cool varieties that you can't get elsewhere. There are also other seed companies that are good as well. There's Yates and McGregor's and stuff like that. I have no issues with using them, but I do find that there are less varieties to choose from. So if you get the chance, I would definitely check out King Seeds' website. And if you can get your hands on one of their catalogs, that would be ideal, because you get to see a visual of all the different veggies next to each other, and you can kind of make a pretty good decision on what you want to grow and not go trigger happy when you go onto the website. So now, once you've ordered your seeds, you are going to want to prepare seed trays. You can use pretty much anything for a seed tray. People use toilet rolls. You can use old trays from friends. And you can use pretty much any shape or size. It's not really a hard and fast rule of what you need to use. However, I'll share how I like to start my seeds. I like to start my seeds inside the house in a warm room. And in order to do that, I can't have trays and trays and trays of seeds throughout my house. So what I do is I get a seed packet, and I kind of determine how many seeds I want to sow of a certain plant. So for example, let's say we're growing capsicum. Now, if I want to grow 30 capsicum plants, then what I do is I get a small little pot and I fill that with seed raising mix. And then I will sprinkle all the seeds into that one single pot, rather than having a massive tray of 30 pots and put one seed in every pot. Now, this does two things. First off, it saves space, like I said. The second thing is, what it does is if something doesn't germinate, which often happens, I'm not wasting a whole pot and the soil that's in it, even though I could reuse it. So it seems like a bit of a waste of time to me. So what I like to do is just put them all in one pot and put them inside one of those little greenhouses, like those really, really small greenhouses that you can fit like two trays in or three trays. And I keep that in my house. And then once that germinates, there's another process that I have to do of separating all those seedlings. And then I'll put those seedlings into their own separate trays or pots. And that's the way that I operate when I sow my seeds. Now, you will need those trays later on, and you can source them from anywhere. I'll just ask friends, or you've probably got some lying around in your house. But if you use the method that I'm going with, you won't need it for a few weeks anyway. So you've got a lot more time to actually have to source those. Now, after you've sourced your trays or sorted out what you're going to grow in, then the next thing you want to do is work out what you want to use as your medium or your soil. Now, you don't really want to use potting mix, as the particles in that mix, there's a lot of like bark and bits of pumice. I always say hummus for some reason, but bits of pumice in there. And what will happen is your seeds are really small, some of them. And what can happen is they can, when you water the potting mix, they can roll under those little pieces of bark or those pieces of pumice, and then they can kind of suffocate, or they just won't germinate properly. You want them to have as little trouble germinating as possible. So you want to use quite a fine mix, and you can buy that from Mitre 10. There's Tui Home and Gardens. They have their seed raising mix, which I usually use. I used to make my own with perlite and peat and some other nutrients and bits and pieces. But to be honest, I don't have much space, so I don't have a place to put all those materials afterwards. So I just opt for the seed raising mix. It's a little bit more pricey, but if you do the method that I was talking about before, where you are only using a single pot for all the seeds, then you're not going to use much seed raising mix. And then once you transplant those seeds from the pot into another tray or other pots individually, then that's when you use potting mix. So then you're not actually having to buy a lot of seed raising mix. So that touches on seed raising mix, I guess. I won't talk about how to make your own mix. I would just recommend that you just buy something that works, but just don't use a potting mix or compost. As I said, the seeds can get lost in that, and the compost especially, it can burn your seedlings if you use straight compost, so you want to be careful when doing that. The next thing that you want to do is to label your trays after you sow them. Because if you sow your trays and you have no labels, this is what I've done multiple times. I've got like four different varieties of tomatoes, and then something happens and I forget to label them, or a label gets lost, and then I've got four different varieties of tomatoes, but they're all mixed up. And it's kind of like a lucky dip, I guess, of what I plant in my garden and what I actually end up getting. So just in order to confuse yourself or to worry about if you're growing the right thing, then just label your trays, label your pots. You can do that by using little stick labels, or you can just buy those little white sticker, pretty much stickers, that you just put on the side of the pot and just write on with a Sharpie on that. Pretty easy, and it works pretty well. So I would recommend always labeling, and you can put the date on there as well, which is a good indication of how long it's taken things to germinate. Now, the next stage, which I've kind of touched on, is after I sow my seeds, then what I do is I keep them indoors until they germinate. Especially things like the capsicum and chili, they take over a week to germinate, and they need those higher temperatures to crack the germination. So you do want to make sure you're not keeping those outside, because even inside like a glass house or something, they're going to take a lot longer to germinate. And they definitely will germinate, but just the process and the time it takes for them to get to that stage is it can be avoided and it can be sped up by germinating them in a warmer environment. So I would totally recommend doing that. But the thing is, you do want to be careful when putting them inside, because once they germinate, what happens is the seedlings will definitely search for the sun. And if you've put them somewhere where it's warm, but it's not that bright or there's not much sunlight, they will stretch really quickly. And you don't really want stretched seedlings because they become weak and they can snap quite easily, or they can just look really ugly. So you do want to keep a close eye on your seedlings, and when they start germinating, you do want to move them outside during the day if you can, in a shaded area still, but where there's more natural sunlight. Even if you've got like a windowsill, or you've got it close to a window, I think that would be fine. But you just don't want to keep it in a hot water closet or something like that, because your seedlings will not like that. Okay, now we're up to point 8, and we're going to talk about pricking out seedlings into their individual trays, which I did talk about before. What you want to do is prepare the individual pots or your trays with potting mix. And you can do a combination of potting mix and compost, but I would do probably 60 to 40 or 70 to 30. So you've got a lot less compost in there. But what the compost is really good for is it adds a better structure to the soil, and also it will add extra nutrients into the mix. So that's what I would recommend. Now, you want to be very careful because the roots of your seedlings are very fragile. You really don't want to yank your seedlings out one by one. It's best to hold the top of your pot and tip it upside down in your hand and let all the soil come out with the roots, and then kind of tease the roots apart and tease all the soil off the roots until you have just the seedlings bare with no soil on them. That's probably the best way to go about doing that. And then what I do is I use a chopstick and I create a bit of a hole in the center of the potting mix pot. And then I gently lower the seedling down and make sure the roots are there without snapping them. And then I kind of push the soil back towards the seedling, and this usually secures it quite well. And then once you give it a good water, the soil kind of settles down and kind of helps the seedling to settle in to its spot. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, number 9, is watering and feeding throughout the next months. So what I like to do is, I think for the first 2 weeks, you probably won't have to do any feeding of your plants. But once they get to the third or the fourth week, you want to start fertilizing them with a very low concentrate of fertilizer. Now, if you buy, I'm just going to go with the Tui stuff for now. They've got some stuff called seaweed tonic, or they have their other like performance fertilizer, which is a natural organic fertilizer. You want to make sure that you're doing like a half solution of what it recommends on the bottle, and then you want to do this once to twice a week. And the way I like to look at it is, you're trying to feed, if you're feeding a baby, you don't feed them a lot on one day and then starve them and then feed them a lot on another day. You kind of feed them throughout the day and you feed them smaller amounts, and that's kind of what I'm trying to mimic with my plants, and it seems to really work well. And my plants never seem to get to the point where they're starting to eat yellow leaves. Now, if you do get to that point and you haven't fertilized them yet, it means that you've waited too long, and they will bounce back, but you might need to kick them up with a bit of a higher dose of fertilizer. But if you do what I said and just give it small amounts more often, then you will have a lot more success and your plants will be very healthy and they will thank you for it. Now, if you can, with the watering side of things, you do want to do like a wet dry cycle, which is where you water your plants really well and then you let them dry back. And what happens when you dry them back is that they start to search for the water in the rest of the pot, and this strengthens the plant and it helps it to get a lot stronger and more healthy. Whereas if you keep it constantly wet, then those roots never really want to search for water because it's just sitting right in the water, and you'll have a very weak plant that when you pull it out, you'll still have only a few roots. And potentially you could get root rot as well if it just is submerged in water. So try and give it a wet dry cycle. Usually when your plants start to wither, if they do, then if you give them a good water, they will perk back. However, if you keep them waterlogged and they start to wither from extreme overwatering, then there's nothing you can do to pretty much bring them back. So it's better for them to be on the dry side, and then you can remedy it by giving it some water rather than trying to resuscitate them after they have been submerged. Now, one of the last things we want to do with our plants is to get them used to being out in the harsh sunlight before we plant them in our garden. So up until this point, we've transplanted them or pricked them out from the pot with all the seedlings together. And then we pricked it out into a potting mix tray. And then you want to keep it in a shaded area. So you can put these outside. If you have a little glass house, greenhouse kind of thing or a structure, I would keep them in that. And then what you want to do is, after a few weeks, especially getting closer to Labor Day, you want to start bringing these plants out and keeping them out for long extended times in the direct sunlight. And what this will do is, it's called hardening off, and the plants are going to get used to being in the natural environments outside, both the cold and the hot in the day. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but if you buy a nice soft seedling from the garden center, it's in like a perfect environment where it's got shade coverings and it's protected from all the harsh elements. But what we can sometimes do is just pop that plant straight into the garden straight away because we are so happy to be able to plant something in the garden. But then it doesn't do well, and potentially it could be because it hasn't been hardened off properly and gotten used to that environment, and it's just been put out there in one go. So what you're trying to do is avoid that and give it some time to adjust to that new environment. And over the next few days, if you do that, over the next few days, you'll definitely have a stronger and a harder seedling, and it will be a lot easier for it to adapt to being planted out into your garden on Labor Day. Now, that was pretty much the 10 points of things you want to do before Labor Day and the process of getting ready for your big plant out for the summer garden. And I'll definitely be doing more episodes on processes before Labor Day and what you should be doing after Labor Day with your plants. But if you are growing from seed, I really hope this was helpful and you've got some value out of it. And I would be really keen to see you guys join me on my seed escapade of growing a whole bunch of different crops. And if you follow my guidelines and those dates that I've given you, I hope you have great success. And I'm always happy to take any messages or any questions you might have regarding how to grow things or any gardening related questions. So please feel free to hit me up and I'll try and get back to you as soon as possible. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode today. Sorry it's been a while for me recording. It's definitely been quite tricky to be able to do all this gardening content and things at work and home stuff. So I do try and do bits and pieces when I get the time, but having my two daughters and stuff like that, it definitely eats up a lot of time in a positive way, don't get me wrong. But by the time they're in bed and it's dark and all that, I'm just pooped as well. So to be honest, I haven't had the greatest amount of energy to do all this, but I do love doing it, and I try my best to get content out for you guys when I can, because I feel like if you guys know how to grow your own foods, you guys are set up to be able to live a more healthy life in terms of what you eat. Because the reason I'm doing this is I know what goes into the food that we grow, especially the stuff we think is healthy. I've worked in the nursery sector for many years, and I've seen what goes onto those plants and the chemicals that are being used and the destruction that's happening to the diversity in the ecosystem with all the different insects being wiped out. And I think there's nothing better that we can do than to grow our own food to be a bit more healthy. And especially for myself, having two daughters and a wife, I really want to grow as much as I can in my small space to be able to provide a bit of organic and healthy, nutritious food for them so that they can really be healthy, and also for my daughters to know where their food comes from. And I hope it really sparks some joy and some passion for their gardening journeys in the future as well. So guys, I hope this was helpful. It's a bit all over the show and there's a lot of information. And I do know I do talk quite fast because I know I have so much stuff I want to share with you guys. So apologies if any of those things were difficult for you. But I hope that you got some value out of this. And I hope that you'll join me on my next episode when I record that. So thanks for listening, guys. Please leave a 5-star review on the platform that you're listening to if you find value in this episode or in my podcast. I would really value that, guys. So thank you so much. And I hope you guys have a great week or a great night or a great wherever you are right now. And I'll catch you later. See you next time.